GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, you're welcome back. So we're turning to the weekend's hurling. We've got Tommy Dunn and Doughty Regan on the line. There were wins for Galway against Kilkenny and Leinster, and Wexford 5-24 put on Offaly at the weekend. And then in Munster, it was, comfortable for Clare against a very unlucky Waterford in terms of injuries, for sure, 227-218. And then Tipperary came back from the dead, 9 points down against Cork. A draw in the end, 220-123. Tommy Dunn, we'll start with you. 9 points down after that first half. They come out, get the first five scores of the second half. What are the big reasons for Tipperary turning this thing around? Because they look dead and gone.
Yeah, even the most optimistic Tip supporters, and there wasn't too many of them coming into the match after the Limerick game, but couldn't see a way back at halftime. It was an incredible recovery, Joe. And look, they made a few positional switches. Brendan to wing back, Brendan Maher to wing back was a good one. Pori gets centre back. Bubbles coming in the forward line was an improvement. He set up and looked dangerous. And they just improved their work rate, and their backs were much tighter on the first delivery into the Cork attack. So wasn't anything too scientific about it, but they just drove at the ball better. And I'd say they just went out with an attitude of not having any more to lose and just gave it a lash. And they got a great start to the second half. Cork's precision kind of deserted them a little bit, and Tip capitalised to hit 5 points on the trot and get right back into the game. What I was going to say was, in fairness to them, they didn't panic. You know, 8 or 9 points is not an insurmountable lead in hurling. That's been proven time and time again. The worrying thing from a Tip point of view for the first half was that they were thoroughly and comprehensively outplayed. Mm. It wasn't so much the 9 points, it was just the way Cork were just running through them at will. Mm. And Cork had also 8 wides in the first half, I think, which, you know, could and maybe should have been out of sight.
I suppose, Doughty, the worry stands for Tipperary going forward that they were so badly outplayed in that first half. But at half time, if things are toxic in that dressing room, if things aren't working, then that's almost a moment where you can not down tools, but just let this thing slip away for another year. And there was clearly still fight in this Tipperary dressing room. A point John McGrath made afterwards, and he was one of those who was transformed personally in the second half, but he was talking generally, and it follows on from what Tommy's saying. He says, Cork were just a bit smarter than us in the first half. Took us a little while to cop on to what they were doing, to smarten up. I don't think anything major. Mark Ellis was a real outball for them in the back, so we tightened up on that threat in the second half, and we just added that extra bit of pressure, and we backed ourselves to go man to man. We trusted ourselves, and I think that showed. That was John McGrath's take, Doughty.
Yeah, and it was very interesting. And to be honest with you, there will be some soul searching done within the Tip camp as to what happened in that first half. And I think Michael Ryan, and knowing Michael Ryan from previous, a very honest, passionate hurling guy and a very straight talking man, I actually believe Michael Ryan needs to take a look at his own setup there in relation to the management team and how long it took them to make those changes in the first half. Because, you know, to sit down at half time and to forensically go through what had gone wrong in the first half, I think to everybody you could see after the first 7 or 8 minutes what the Cork game plan was. And I've long since argued, if you have a team that's going to sit back for puck outs like the Tip team did to try and drop deep and allow Cork build from the back, Cork are talented hurlers, extremely talented first touch hurlers. They were willing to take short puck outs. Spillane was willing to take them. Donoghue was willing to take them. Callaghan was willing to take them. He was hitting Ellis 50 yards away from him. And then it was two more quick possessions. And I mean, if you're going to drop back that far, the type of ball that was played in to the Cork forwards in the first half, to the likes of Kingston, to the likes of Horgan and these fellas, where was the Tip half-back line? If you're sitting deep like that, when they were coming out, getting possession out near the sideline and turning at will and putting them over the bar, the half-back line, if they were that deep, they should have been operating as auxiliary defenders and coming back on the Cork forwards that were coming out. And I just thought strategically, Tip got it all wrong. I mean, Cork wanted to play it that way, so why allow them to do it? Tip have a very strong half-back line. For the Cork puckouts, go man on man. Every single forward, stand on the player that you're marking or that's marking you, and give the Cork goalkeeper absolutely no alternative but to hit it as far down the field as he can, or to the best to maximise the half forward line. But Tip had a strong half back line in play there yesterday. So Mike will have to take a look at themselves yesterday. It's all very well say the players didn't fight in the first half, but there was fight in them because they're Tip men, and that's what we expect from them. And that's grand. That's all very well.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
You must take a look at yourself as well and say, why did we spend the first half looking at what we did? Everyone knows that Bonner Maher, he's a great lad, but he's a guy that should have been careering through the middle and offloading passes. Not a guy coming in from the wing as a finisher, because Bonner's a lot of things, but he's not a finisher. He's not a top-class finisher. Mm. But having said that, I think they did address it at halftime. But I think the other thing that happened at halftime was, I really believe that Mick Ryan went to town on fellas, and I think he would have faced up full and frontal to certain individuals there, nose to nose, and put it to them that what they were at was totally unacceptable, because it was. And I don't think it was any great master plan to change it at halftime. I think Mick Ryan did what Mick Ryan does, be an honest gentleman, a brilliant Tipperary hurling man, and put it to his players that, you know, everything they stand for and the culture they stand for had been let down. And I think what we had was a lot of guys who stood up, took it on board and went out, and individual brilliance in the second half, better system. Backsmen hurled up man on man, because a top class forward shouldn't be coming out 2 or 3 yards ahead of you. They went at it man for man in the second half, and when they did, they upset, and Cork didn't have a plan B. Plan A was working the first half, and when it wasn't working for them the second half, because they forced them out of their comfort zone, you know, at the end of the day, the Cork goalkeeper gets man of the match. So Anthony Nash pulled off a couple of brilliant saves. So for all of that, they could have won the game.
Yeah.
But I just thought the way they allowed Cork hurl to their agenda in the first half was so untip-like. And yet what I saw in the second half, you know, kind of reinforced what I've believed all along, that this is still a really good side.
Yeah, okay. Tommy, maybe before we move on to Cork, just come in on 2 points there. Firstly, did you share Doughty's frustration with the tactics? Did you think it was an obvious call to do what they did at halftime, but to do it earlier? And also, all is not well either still. I mean, there's this lingering sense that for some various reasons, Mick Ryan is still trying to figure out his best team here. But you might come in on those 2 points.
Yeah, look, I think Doughty's point is very fair. Cork, I analysed Tip and Cork last year as well, and Cork played almost exactly the same way this year. There's two things. The puckouts were a huge strike. Both puckouts, actually. The Nash puckout hurt Tip bad. Not necessarily Nash's puck out, but what happened after Nash's puck out. So it was very strange that Tip didn't adapt to it at the time. You had Daniel Kearney pulling very deep. You had Luke Mead pulling very deep. Neither of them were picked up, and they processed a huge amount of ball early in the game. But Doughty's point is fair. If they weren't picked up, then why didn't we shield the distribution line to the that favours the diagonal ball from Cork? We didn't do either.
Yeah.
And that was definitely a problem. Now, maybe Tip tried to do it but failed to execute it, but it happened too many times for, you know, at least one of them to be intercepted. So I think that's a fair point, that, and I'd say I've no doubt, knowing Mick Ryan and the boys, they will have a look at themselves, you know, why did the same thing happen for so long in the first half without it improving, and in fact it got worse. What was the second point, Joe, you put to me there?
There's still a sense that he's trying to figure out his best team here going forward.
Oh, there is. No, there's no question. I think he admitted that much as well afterwards. I think he probably knows who he's best.
Oh, the line's just breaking up there. We'll come back to you in a second. I'll put that point to you then, Dahi, as we leave Tipperary, that he is probably still firefighting here a little bit across this Munster Championship. Now, they've got Waterford next, which isn't the worst time to meet Waterford at all. But still, there is this sense that, unlike in previous years, they're juggling a bit. It's not quite fitting together as it has in previous years.
It hasn't quite fitted together in the first two games, to be fair. But we certainly saw enough glimpses in the second half. Again, I go back to the fact Patrick Maher is carrying an injury. I know that.
Yeah.
Seamus Callanan is not related to the player that was there in 2016. But there's reasons for it. He's still coming back from injury. And he was burned for pace yesterday with the Cork corner backs coming out. He wasn't able to follow them. But enough signs there. And for me, it was the individual performances of the Tip forward line in the second half. I thought McGrath was just absolutely phenomenal. brilliant. Mm. I thought what John McGrath did, some of the points he took in the second half were absolutely outstanding. Mm. And Jason Ford is a top-class forward, and he's shown it in the league. And I still maintain that there is a forward line there with Tipperary that will absolutely terrify anybody. And I include Galway in that, who have a brilliant defence.
Yeah.
If it's a thing they all strike it on the day where four of them hit top form, well, then that arguably is still arguably the best forward line in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They didn't do it yesterday. They did it in the second half for protracted periods. And again, I say to you, Joe, they showed enough in the second half that on the day, if 10 of them players play out of their skin, Tip are formidable. But that's also, I guess, taken away from, many respects, Cork, who their stick work at times in the first half was an absolute joy. The first touch, control, swivelling, scores over the shoulder, accuracy, speed, in the conditions as well when it rained was superb. All in all, it was a tremendous game of hurling, I have to say.
Yeah, it's very worth stating that, actually. We haven't. So Cork are in Porkycueve next Saturday. They have Limerick. And then, as mentioned, Tipperary play Waterford. Like Dermot McGrath, Doughty was kind of scratching his head a little bit yesterday. He said, today is crazy. You couldn't write it, really. So 227 to 218. You've Ozzie Gleeson and Porkmanee suspended, or injured, rather. And they lose Tadhg De Burca after just 14 minutes. Noel Connors goes. Dara Fives, who steps in at sweeper for De Burca, goes. Barry Coughlin, Kevin Moran goes and gets a stupid red. And they're out for the next 3 weeks on the bounce after yesterday. And the last thing they probably want is Tipperary feeling a bit better about life. They're up against it, Waterford, aren't they? Everyone kind of predicted this.
It's an amazing thing. They were in an All-Ireland final and had such a good chance against Galway. And that so many did predict it, to be honest with you. And I have to concur. I mean, I really didn't feel that Waterford would contend for an All-Ireland final this year. I mean, Derek made the point when he took over 4 or 5 years ago. After 25 minutes against Clare in a National League game down in Ennis, they were 4-17 to 4 points down after just 25 minutes. It's extraordinary. And we tend to forget that people had written Waterford off after the great side had disintegrated in retirements, etc., without winning the elusive All-Ireland final. So what he's done the last number of years has been extraordinary in that he made them extremely competitive to start with. He decided on a system that was going to make sure that they weren't leaking or hemorrhaging defensively, and the addition of the sweeper obviously suited what they were doing. And then they just learned to play pretty much with four forwards and at times five forwards and play tramline hurling, where it was very much down both sides, but it was based on accuracy and a high percentage of you know, accurate passes from pretty long distances. And he's done a magnificent job. But to kick on from where he wanted to kick on to, which is to win that All-Ireland final, I really felt he radically had to change the way they played. And to be honest with you, the injuries yesterday, they finished with five of the starting All-Ireland team, finished on the field yesterday. I mean, that's an extraordinary turnover of players. And they just don't have the depth and strength. Nobody. Galway couldn't finish against Kilkenny with five of the starting team from the All-Ireland final last year, supplemented by a lot of guys that we hadn't heard of before. Yeah. Galway wouldn't have beaten Kilkenny if that was the case.
Mm.
And Waterford are no different to everybody else.
Mm.
So they're in a bad place. Waterford, I think, are in a bad place. Now, there's a lot of reasons for it. They have more reasons for what happened yesterday than any other county this weekend can put excuses out for. He has genuine bona fide reasons. But at the end of the day, it's a game lost. And having to go to Limerick and play, what I suspect is the flames of a transition in this Tipperary team. That's the worst fixture that it could have got in Munster next weekend.
It's tough. Clare clicked in many respects. John Conlon, man of the match in a corner forward. Tony Kelly got 6 points. They have a gap week now. And then over in Leinster, we went from that brilliant game in Semple Stadium to Pearse Stadium. Galway really put down a marker, Tommy. I think you're back with us now and the line's okay. It was certainly, I mean, it was interesting to go on the TV from watching the openness of the game in Semple Stadium to almost a more kind of physical, intense type of affair between Galway and Kilkenny. And like, if we were wondering what Galway were about in 2018, they've put down a massive statement. Suddenly everybody's realised they have a second All-Ireland firmly in their sights. They're all business.
One thing strikes me about Galway, Joe, they had a very subdued league, if you want to call it that. But just looking at their team yesterday, and, you know, I think there's 13 or 14 of the All-Ireland team in situ there. They're steady, they're settled, they know what they're about. And I think someone referenced it yesterday on a post-match interview or something like that, where timing is what Galway are about. And I think they wintered well. They've handled their All-Ireland, which was a big deal at the time after such a long, a long spell. But I think they are going to take a lot of beating. And yesterday, they just, you know, they comprehensively outplayed Kilkenny. To keep a Kilkenny line to 1-2 from play over 75 or 76 minutes tells you all you need to know. And Galway's foundation, I believe, is their defensive unit. Everything stems from that. And they're injury-free. They're building momentum nicely. They'll be fresh enough to sustain themselves during this type of a championship. And barring injuries, I think they're looking like strong favourites even at this early stage.
Yeah, until that Walsh goal late on in 74 minutes, the stat was fairly much out there. Kilkenny hadn't scored from play in the second half. 2 points from play all game. They were very reliant on TJ Reid from frees. Dahi, I presume you echo that. You've been saying that a long way out, Dahi, that you know, you'll have to beat Galway to win this All-Ireland. And yesterday, there is just like a focus almost emanating from them. They're all business as individuals. They're going about their jobs. The bench has depth. And physically, they're building again. I mean, each year, physically, the last number of years, they've been strong. But they've come on again almost. And like Joe Canning almost looks statesmanlike out there, as if they're just a more assured team. They know they're good enough to win All-Irelands if they're at their best, and they're determined to do it. Like, it's a scary prospect on almost every level.
Yeah, all of those things, Joe, and Conor Whelan. I mean, for me, the best forward in the country at the moment. He's just, he has it all. He has it all. He's come on in the last 2 years to the levels that physically, you know, like Joe got plenty of it from Buckley yesterday for long enough, particularly in the first half. He really did. And you know, didn't win every ball that was coming down, but did tackle hard early doors when he wasn't winning and gave away a couple of frees. But I looked at Whelan and I thought, he doesn't want to lose any ball that goes in. Everything he goes for before he gets it, it's like I know where I'm going with this, and it seems to be at this stage now, head down, and I'm going for goal. I'm going to score goals. His touch, his strength, his laying off of the ball. Everything about him marks him out for me as now the absolutely critical guy for Galway up front. And that's a great thing for Joe Canning, I really do. Mm. Because I think Joe can just, you know, move around there, get on a lot of balls, do a lot of things. But the onus, there's two critical aspects with Galway. One, it's not all about Joe anymore. Others have stood up. Others have grown into it. And the other thing for me is, when Galway weren't winning All-Irelands in the early part of the decade, there was always a question mark around the key defensive positions of full-back and centre-back, particularly centre-back. Right now, Dahi Burke and Garoge McInerney are sensational in their positions. Dahi Burke came out and hit and gave a penalty away and took a yellow card. What Galway wouldn't have done to have Dahi Burke there a number of years ago, full-back, when it was crying out for someone to do that. Now, I know some maybe pillared him for doing that and giving a penalty away. To me, he did the right thing at the right time, and he sent a message out. And McInerney was just awesome again yesterday. I agree with Tommy. I just think, looking at them, they have a half-back line there. Every one of them comfortable with a high ball coming down to grab it and win first phase possession.
Yeah.
Full-back line that's tenacious. Burke in middle of the field again is coming back to what he was a number of years ago. A class act. Mm. And up front, I mean, if you look at what they brought in, Johnny Glynn for young Concannon, there was a message straight away to Concannon. Okay, you're doing well, but you know what? Johnny Glynn, go make a name for yourself. Yeah. Jason Flynn, Niall Burke.
Yeah, they both scored coming on.
The depth and strength that they have, I just think they're an awesome proposition. They really are. And Kilkenny were game, but if you looked at the team and you looked at it beforehand, I just thought, no, this Galway team is—they're too good. They're too good, and they are—they're brilliant.
Yeah, it was kind of written all over Cody's face, Tommy. Like, he, you know, in his post-match interviews, he was saying, "Look, they're very, 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 very good right now, and we'll have to come back and go again." You know, if Kilkenny were in any danger of getting carried away on the back of the league final win, then this has brought them right back down to earth. And as suddenly you get that word transition is being thrown around a lot more about Kilkenny than it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I think Cody's comments were interesting after the match. That struck me very much as well. But I think Brian Cody would have known, Joe, after the league final, pretty much where they were at. I certainly don't think he got carried away. the fact that they beat Tip so comprehensively in the league final maybe gave some observers a view on them that wasn't really realistic. But I have a feeling Brian Cody knew exactly where they were at, and I think that might go somewhere to explain his comments afterwards, where it was a certain amount of resignation that just Galway had too much for them. But this is part of a rebuilding process, if that's, and Brian Cody mightn't see it like that at all, but this is where the pecking order just is at the minute. Now, there's a lot of hurling left to be done yet. Let's wait and see. But as things stand at the moment, Galway look a ferocious opposition or a proposition, and Kilkenny a little bit back in the pack with a few other teams.
Well, Galway have Wexford next Saturday, which is going to be great. Dahi, I mean, we're looking forward to that for sure. And we might finish on that point. So Galway have Wexford next Saturday. Wexford were very, very good by all accounts against Offaly. And it's a second game where Offaly have shipped 5 goals. I appreciate they went down to 12 men. I don't know if you saw much of it, Dahi. If you did, and I know it's putting you under time pressure, maybe in a minute or a minute and a half, how good were Wexford? And then I know you like what Kevin Martin's doing with Offaly going man for man, but I wonder against Dublin, where it's such a defining game coming up for them next, are they going to have to protect themselves a bit more? They can't concede that number of goals, 3, 4, 5 goals in a game and hope to get away with it.
No, absolutely not. Don't turn up if that's the case, because you're sending a message out to Dublin. Come at us with everything we have, because we're just going to try and shore up. Not the way forward whatsoever. You can't change anything. Are Wexford that good? One thing about Wexford going out against Galway is they will play in the manner of their manager, in that every one of those Wexford players will totally believe that they have the measure of Galway, and they'll believe it. They absolutely will believe it. Others make good sounds and good noises. He's superb at what he's done down there. He's superb at what he's done in Clare previous to this. Wexford will give Galway lots of it, but Galway, to me, are just on a different plane to everybody else. And that's no disrespect. They're there to be shot at. And Wexford will go and have a right good crack, as much as anybody else will. Yeah. They won't lie down in front of them. But I just can't see Galway beaten at the minute.
And just to be clear, you don't think Offaly should try and be more defensive in any way, really?
No. If you set up to go out defensively and play a sweeper, you know, what message are you saying to the players, for starters? One thing about Kevin is he will be consistent. If you're not good enough to win your own ball and beat your own man, well, don't be expecting someone behind you to pick up handy loose ball. The other thing about that, Joe, is this. If you turn around and you play a sweeper, they've not trained like that or played like that all year. Mm. You've then got a situation where a guy who conceivably will get on a lot of ball, who has absolutely no practice all year of where he's hitting it, what direction he's hitting it, what's the game plan, and the rest of the forwards haven't been playing to that tune. So no, change nothing. Man up, go out, leave it out there, but no, don't go defensive.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll talk about that more during the week. Lads, we're out of time. Tommy Dunn, Dahi Regan, thanks so much. We'll take a very short break. And then after 8 o'clock, we have Colm Cooper in studio. We'll talk about some of the football with him. And we have Shane Jennings and Eddie O'Sullivan on Leinster as well.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.